Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. Hello.
Hello. Very nice.
How are you? Done.
Well, I've got to talk to you about my dress, first of all. So you can't really see it because it's Zoom, I know.
Yeah.
This is, you'll know because you're quite old, aren't you? You're my sort of age.
Yeah, stop playing with it, yeah.
Quite a bit older. This material...
Yeah.
Have a guess.
Gingham.
No, that's Czech.
Linen.
Anyway, gingham is a pattern. It's not linen. No, have another guess.
Cotton.
Something from the, think 70s. Think flower power.
Rayon.
No!
Plastic. I don't know, I'll give up. What?
Cheesecloth.
Oh, blimey. Cheesecloth.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, this is not actually from the 70s, but it is from the 80s.
Right.
I have managed to squeeze in. I absolutely love it. I'll stand up. Absolutely love it. It's all floaty and very light because we know it's...
Where'd you find it then? Was it at the back of the wardrobe?
Yeah, I found it. Well, I found it up in the loft in a bin bag.
Ah.
But the trouble is I'm a little bit larger than I was then. Yeah.
You have to let out the darts.
Well, not just that. I've squeezed into it and I've absolutely ripped the seams. Can you see? Right.
Ripped.
It's very sad around,
there you go.
Around
never mind.
The upper bust area. So, but I felt so happy in cheesecloth. You don't get cheesecloth. Did you ever have a cheesecloth shirt?
I did. I used to, one of my favourite shirts was a red and red striped. So it was white with red stripe.
Yeah, I knew it would have a red stripe.
Granddad shirt.
Yeah, remember that.
Yeah, with loons
and
black leather clogs.
What colour were the loons?
Sky blue, I think.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then the black clogs. I remember going to a disco in High Street, Kensington, and dancing in bright white clogs. Can't remember what I wore, some sort of suit thing, white suit, and white clogs with no socks. Mm. And my then boyfriend, who was from Palestine, there you go.
As you would be.
Nabil is very handsome, had black clogs, so we were like the Dolly sisters or whatever, matching. So clogs were a big thing, weren't they?
They certainly were, yeah.
Anyway, I'm very excited, and if anybody knows where I can buy more cheesecloth, I would love it because it's perfect. We're in a heat wave. Mm. I don't know whether it will be a heat wave where you are, but certainly where I am at the moment, it's hot. So with me and the lovely Paul Andrews, we've got a really cracking show, haven't we?
We have. Shall I tell you who the sponsors are today?
If you like. I was about to ask you, who might our sponsors be?
We're pleased to be working in partnership with Whitcombe HR. Here on the Business Bunker Show, Whitcombe HR is a human resource consultancy service offering small businesses based in the Southeast the opportunity to have their own HR manager when required. If you'd like to find out more about them, their website is whitcombehr.co.uk. That's whitcombehr.co.uk. whitcombehr.co.uk. Thank you so much for supporting the show this week.
I like the name. I think it reminds me of a sort of a chalky, sandy beach that you could go and have lovely sandwiches in a deck chair on Whitcombe.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
I think it's very true. If you can hear a bit of clanging and backing in the background, there's somebody's demolished a house and they're building an eco house on the road near us in Herne Bay, on the Herne Bay Road. So it's been really interesting. Cement mixer there today.
Oh, is there?
I love.
Have you been out there telling them about leaving it running?
No, but I do love to watch all the trucks and that. They're up in the cab and they've got their little masks on, which is really sad because they must be boiling. I don't really understand why they've got a mask on in the cab. But anyway, I managed to survive a massage yesterday. It's my first one. I have it for my shoulders, which get very painful because I've gotten impacted.
Where did you have that done?
I went to a lovely place, the lovely Liz at Evolution Health, which is on Borstal Hill as you go up. Up the hill from Whitstable. Liz is there and I see Lucy, and I was having one a month because I've got osteoarthritis in my shoulder. I don't know why. I think it's from backstroke. I've done too much backstroke in my life.
Blimey.
You try and be fit, you can't win, can you?
No, not at your age.
It would have been better to have been just tubby and, you know, not got my heart rate up. Anyway,
well, that's where I'm going with this.
What? Be tubby?
I'm just going to go tubby. Yeah.
Well,
just to defy the government as much as anything else with their silly obesity things.
You, oh, yeah. Aren't you going to get your bike out? You are good at football.
Don't I get a free government bike?
Well, I know on the last show you were very good at catching plums. That must have burnt a few calories.
Yeah, yeah, I got into trouble with that.
Why? You didn't take any home?
Well, no, yeah, no, I did. I had three left, which I took home. Only on the way home, I contrived somehow to crush them.
Did you sit on them?
No, they were in a punnet in my bag on the seat next to me, and it fell off, and something fell on top of them and splattered them. So,
well, that's jam.
Yeah, so they weren't amused. I did talk them through how lovely and juicy they were, but...
Oh, no, that went down well then.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. You have got your own plum tree now growing, so hopefully.
Absolutely. Anyway, listen.
Let's get off.
Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, August the 11th. We're really pleased to hear from you. And I'm going to shout out a few of our regular tweeters. A huge shout out to Tracy, Tazzy64 on the Twitter, and the lovely Kim from Caring Kent.
Both very loyal listeners.
Yeah, and very regular tweeters and supporters of the show. Thank you so much for all your support and your tweets and all the things that you do for us to keep us going on the show. We've got two fantastic guests we're going to talk to during the course of the show, as Jules mentioned earlier. We shall introduce them as they come along. What we're looking at this week, we're talking to people with their own businesses about how things were for them during the lockdown and how they're going to look at recovering from that and what the effects of that are. Just before we do that, I'm going to start by reading the introduction to a small FSB report that has just been published. And it says one in five small firms are being forced to cut staff amid a split in performance expectation. So small business expectations of future performance are increasingly polarized. According to the latest quarterly small business index survey from the FSB, which shows that a sizable share of firms have already had to let staff go. Over a fifth, 23% of the 1,400 business owners surveyed for the study expect their performance to be much worse over the coming quarter compared to the last 3 months. So people are saying it's getting worse, not better.
Yeah, which is terrible. Awful.
Which is really, really scary. And, you know, to be honest, we really, really need to get a grip of this and get things moving back into the right direction, because it's sounding really, really bad news at the moment.
And what do you mean by having a grip? What's your solution? Because there isn't a solution, is there, really?
Well, they've got to stop panicking. They've got to stop panicking every time someone sneezes. You know, we're using statistics to lock everything down every 10 minutes. A week or so ago, they went back to quarantining people traveling from Spain because there'd been a spike in infection numbers. But the reality is that hasn't translated into anything. The people being admitted to hospital and sadly dying are almost non-existent, yet we're still panicking and still going back into lockdowns and worrying about second waves and all the rest of it. At some point, we have to start accepting there's a small risk. And get back into doing stuff. We can't carry on the way we are. We're just destroying everything.
Yeah,
people aren't being treated. I mean, health minister a week or so ago made some stupid announcement that in future all GP appointments ought to be by telephone.
Ridiculous.
It's just stupid.
People need their chest listening to, their heart monitored. That, you know, it's just mad.
A lot of people just need reassurance. They need to go to a GP. Yeah. And, you know, reassure them that the ailments that they've got aren't life-threatening or whatever. You can't do that on the phone.
I might as well just Google it. you know, if it's going to be like that. And yeah, it's shocking. And as you know, my mum, who's 89, was self-isolating very diligently. She's had to go to A&E. She survived that. She was very careful. And but now she's saying, I don't want a telephone consultation with my consultant because I can't hear him and he's not listening to my chest. Right. So she said, what's the point, you know? And it's very difficult for the elderly. Let's not forget the elderly here. If they are hard of hearing, they don't have the technology. They don't Zoom. And
did I tell you about my mum's form?
I'm sure you're going to.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, my mum got a form through the post.
Yeah.
First and foremost, it was so badly photocopied, you could barely read it. But it was 3 pages long, and it was what my mum wanted to do in the event of being hospitalised with COVID. And it was like, you know...
Is it about resuscitation?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, this is worrying.
The form was so complicated, she asked me to fill it in. I couldn't fill it in. She rang the doctors to make an appointment to help them fill it in. And they said, oh, yes, we can do that. It will take an hour to fill it in. Then they rang back and said, don't bother to ring. We've had a look at the form. It's ridiculous. We couldn't fill it in either.
Really?
So they've gone, yeah, they've gone away to rethink it.
Well, now, this is very interesting.
You send that to a 91-year-old and you're going, you know, or you can do this online. It's just.
And like, how does it make that 91-year-old feel? That's the thing, because my mother said the same thing. She's had a form, so it must be something going around saying if an ambulance was called to her home and she had, for example, a heart attack, very rarely it said, do elderly people get resuscitated? It's awful. And if it happened, does she want to be resuscitated? Because that would mean going into hospital and with COVID in her age. But, and so she signed a form. She signed a form to say, don't resuscitate me. Outrageous. How does it make her feel? Should we talk about something pleasant?
Yeah, we can. I just want another couple of quick shout outs for regular tweeters, DC Weddings UK and the lovely folks, obviously, at Athelbray Limited. Thank you all for your continued support and for regular listening to us and giving us lots of interesting feedback.
Yeah, especially now needed. I know Kate, I mean, she's the sort of person you'd like to talk to, wouldn't you, about that, anything like that.
Jenna Group are delighted to promote the forthcoming Shepway Sports Trust Charity Golf Day as the main sponsor of the event for the third year running. They're delighted that the trusts are able to proceed with the day, which will, of course, adhere to all enhanced safety measures, heightened hygiene and social distancing to allow them to raise vital funds to continue the amazing work they do. You can find out more about the Trust via their website, which I'll give you in a moment. The day will be held on Friday, the 11th of September at the glorious Broom Park Golf Club. That's just outside Canterbury. It's a measly £40 a person, and the format is Texas Scramble. It's a relaxed and enjoyable day. I'm sure even more welcome this year as a chance to get out, get back out there and network in a safe manner. That's from Ella Brocklebank. And if you want to find out more about it, go to the website, which is www.shepwaysportstrust.org. That's shepwaysportstrust.org. The Digital Skills Partnership from the Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership, that's the LEP, has partnered with Coursera A to provide free online learning resources to 10,000 users across the Southeast. There are more than 4,300 courses available to those facing redundancy, on furlough, or those looking to reskill to enter a new industry. The courses are free to sign up to until the end of September 2020 and must be completed. So the online course must be completed by the end of December 2020. If you want to find out more about it or sign up for it, www.southeastlep.com/ourdeliveryskills. That's southeastlep.com/ourdeliveryskills. Well, this is something different. Our one-week fast-track comedy crash course featuring some of the best facilitators in the industry. Backed by popular demand, your summer holiday in Spain has been cancelled and all this social distancing and mask wearing is getting you down. Never fear, we've got a fun week lined up for you, all in the safety of your own home or back garden. We're running another of our one-week fast-track comedy crash courses featuring an hour of expert coaching and guidance each day and a showcase with feedback on a Friday. Facilitated by four industry experts, this course provides tailored tips and advice to help you refine your performance style mentally and physically, develop and construct material, and refine your comedic skills for the new world order online. The course takes place between Monday the 17th of August and Friday the 21st of August. If you want to find out more or book your place, www.eventbrite.co.uk/comedycrashcourse. That's eventbrite.co.uk/comedycrashcourse.
What we'll do is we'll play a bit of music, and then when we come back, we'll talk to our first guest. What do you reckon? Sound like a plan? Let's go for it.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Ooh, I'll get by the little help from my friends.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Shall we speak to our first guest?
Well, she's just come into our studio. And it's the beautiful, wearing a lovely teal top, the beautiful Rebecca Nutt of Serenity.
Is it cheesecloth?
No, it's not. It looks like, well, it looks like satin or silk.
We shall find out in any minute, I'm no doubt.
So it's the lovely Rebecca Nutt who has, she's the owner of Serenity Health and Beauty, two beauty salons, one in the lovely Faversham town, market town, and one in Swalecliff, Whitstable, whatever you call it, Tankerton, could be, right near me anyway, walking distance. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. So hello, Rebecca.
Hi, hello. Rebecca.
Hi, Jules. Hi, looking, Paul.
Looking gorgeous.
Thank
Are you,
you.
Well? We've been discussing tops so far because...
Okay.
Yeah, Jules found a cheesecloth skirt in her attic.
It's a dress.
And she's claiming she can get it on still, even though she last wore it in 1972.
Oh, I'm sure she'd have no problem.
I have actually ripped the seams, but I was determined to get it on. I've squeezed into it. My bust is somewhat larger than it was, having had three kids. Estrogen is obviously, you know, dominant. Yeah, I've squeezed in. I'm very happy, but I will have to find a dressmaker to repair quite large. But let's just talk about Rebecca. Rebecca Nutt, owner of these two beautiful salons. Do you call them salons now, or what are they called?
I call them salons.
Yeah. I do, yes, good.
Yeah,
they're not beauty,
not
beauty parlours, are they?
Spas, but I don't class it as a spa because we don't have any water treatments, so we don't have any swimming pools or...
You've not got a hose pipe or anything, Rebecca.
Sorry?
You haven't got a hose pipe or anything that you do things with?
No.
She's got a little washing up bowl. That little washing up bowl, that might count.
You don't do those kind of treatments then.
We have showers, but yeah, I mean, like, what I class bar is like, you know, proper swimming pool, all that.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to one. But if anybody's listening, I could highly recommend that Rebecca could run your spa for you if you're a hotel. I know we have a lot of hotel and hospitality businesses listening. She is raring to go and she has very, very high standards.
It's on my to-do list.
Yes, and mine. It's on my to-visit list.
Yeah.
It's opened. So, Rebecca, it's been unprecedented times. That word gets completely overused now. We have learned lots of new words like lockdown, furlough, social isolating, all these things, masks, visors. Tell us how it was for you. Can you remember back to when this first started? There were the rumblings. Was it February?
Yes, February. So we actually ended up closing salons in March. I think maybe like the 24th, 23rd, 24th, something like that. Just before they actually announced that they were going to close salons, my team and I had got together and we'd already made the decision that we felt this was going to be coming this way. And we wanted to make sure that we were doing everything right, you know, make sure that we were protecting our staff and our clients. So we made that decision to close. And then literally the next day, I think they said, close anyway. So that was good because I felt like I'd made the right decision.
Yeah,
always
sure.
Always a scary decision to make, to close your business.
So what was it like telling your staff?
I feel like it was, well, it wasn't nice. It was a really emotional time, obviously, and very worrying. But I feel that I'm very lucky. I have a really good relationship with my teams. A lot of my girls have worked for me for a long time. So we talked about it very openly the whole way through. Obviously, you know, they gave their feedback and, you know, and which is invaluable, you know, is that we work as very much as a team and I listen greatly to how they feel, and you know, at the end of the day, they're on the front line as such, you know. Sure. So I know I still do treatments, but they do a lot more than I do in that respect. So the feedback that they were getting from clients and how they were feeling, you know, you just have to take it all into account and listen to what they're saying and make the decision as a group, because at the end of the day, you can't just, you know, I might be the owner and the manager, but you still have to listen to everyone around you. And
of course, yeah. Did you furlough them, Becca?
Yes, so when they turned around and said that they were going to pay staff to furlough so that they could be at home and they were going to pay 80%, that was just such a huge weight off my mind.
Yeah. Because they have mortgages.
That was one of the conversations that we'd had, and I'd said to them, you know, look, I can't, you know, if we close for several months, I can't afford to pay your wages. I just can't, you know, I don't have that that facility. And we'd all kind of had that difficult conversation, what we were going to do. So when they turned around and said, we're going to be paying the staff, it was a very emotional moment. I was very pleased, and I basically said to the girls, thank God, you know, like, you can, I can furlough you, you're still going to get 80% of your wages. I mean, that's amazing. Really.
And what was that, administrating that, like, did you have to have paperwork or to do that?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, you basically, there are online calculators. There was quite a lot of help out there, but obviously, I have an accountant as well, who's amazing, the lovely Alan.
The lovely Alan, who's a regular at Slopeoff.
The lovely Alan. But he was so inundated with, like, everything, you know, like, it was just everyone trying to get their tax returns in so that they can claim the, because they had certain dates that they had to get everything in by. And it's always a tricky time for them anyway. And yeah, he just was so snowed under, I kind of had to try and do it myself. So that I could pay the girls on time, so that they weren't worrying.
Becca, it was 80% of their wages, but then presumably they're missing out on the tips.
Yeah, any tips that they would get paid, yeah.
So actually it was quite a lot less for them. Yeah. Did they feed back to you on that?
Well, yes. I mean, obviously that is a big impact. With regards to that, I didn't really ask them about that side of it because there wasn't anything I could do.
No.
There wasn't anything I could deal with. And I know that at the end of the day, they were still getting 80% of their wages. I mean, yes, I'm sure, you know, they did struggle. I mean, I know some of the girls were still paying rent. Some of the girls have mortgages, which they managed to get like a mortgage holiday. So that helped them through. Some of them had partners that still could work, so they were still getting their money.
And presumably they had children at home as well because the schools were closed, a lot of them.
Yeah. So some of them still, and even still now, some of my girls are only doing like a fraction of what they would normally do because they don't have the childcare.
So how's that working, trying to run a business and then the girls are saying, I can't come in because I've got 10 kids at home?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's tricky. Like I said earlier, with my girls, we have a really good relationship. We're a strong team. And I know a couple of my girls, they really struggled with the childcare aspect. And I said to them, look, you've got to come back and do something. You've got to come back because, you know, we're a very kind of intimate industry. You know, we have a lot of clients that will only see certain people, you know, because they're treatment, they feel, you know, they don't want to see anybody else, and that's fine. That's, you know, that's a normal thing. So, you know, as I say, a couple of them, I said, but you're going to have to come back and do something, even if you do 5 hours a week. You know, tell me when you can work, and we'll try and sort of fit round it. So they have all come back.
Does that mean that you would consider perhaps opening on a Sunday or a later evenings when there might be a hubby at home?
We open 3 evenings a week anyway. We open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday anyway. Yes, they're generally doing evenings. We open Saturdays. Sundays was thrown around a bit. We talked about it. In the end, I decided not to open on Sundays because it's not something that I want to continue. And also, that would mean me working 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, just going back a bit, Rebecca, and just talking about whilst we were all still locked down.
Yeah.
As a small business owner, obviously, probably the biggest part of your overhead was your staff costs.
Yeah.
And then the government helps out with that, with the furlough scheme and things like that. The second biggest part, I guess, I'm guessing now, of your overheads is your premises. Rent and rates on your premises.
Yeah.
So whilst the government helped with staff employment, how did you deal with ongoing rent and rates when you've got no income coming in?
They did step up with the whole business rate side of it, so there were grants for businesses. Right.
And you took advantage of that, did you?
I did get that grant, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big relief. But I do know that, and also for me, I'm lucky enough that I managed to purchase my property. So I had commercial mortgage on my business properties.
Right.
So I managed to get a mortgage holiday for that. But obviously,
you've got to catch up with that at some time, though, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I was still trying to pay some of it to keep up with it, so that you're not then. But also, it's not even just that. It's just everything else. I mean, like your electric and your gas, they still take your monthly payments. You know, water bills. I have a software management system that I use called Forest, which basically you get all your reports and everything. It does all your online booking. It does everything.
Right.
That's £300-400 a month. That still carried on going because...
But you couldn't pause that at all. They wouldn't let you.
No, they were still working behind the scenes. They did quite a lot of extra features. So they added like online gift vouchers, which was a new thing. So they kind of did extra bits, but yeah, that wasn't. So that was going out, and that's for both salons. So that's, you know.
Yeah. So it's
and just everything else that goes along with it, you know, and obviously handing bills, and then you've got, you know, I still, you still got everything kind of going on in the background. So that was like that money that I kind of got for the.
You still had the
grant kind of like withered away quite quickly.
Yeah. So, I mean, the problem then is for us small businesses, and why I just read a mini report from the FSB that said businesses are still struggling and it's getting worse. And I guess the problem for us now that we're starting to open gradually is partly what Jules was saying earlier, you know, how do you get your staff back to work when the kids aren't back at school? You know, how much work do you get when people are still scared and worried about going out?
People are nervous,
People are nervous. But on top of all of that, we've offset a lot of our costs. We haven't removed them. We've just not paid them. So not only have we got to start earning money again, we've got to start earning enough to repay what we owe.
They're lurking.
Sexy boys.
Yeah, well, do try one on.
My visors,
well, that's the thing.
The research and making sure that you're getting the right thing, and like the guidelines when we finally got the guidelines for our industry, we were, even though we weren't allowed to reopen with the hair salons, we were still lumped in with hairdressers, and 42 page document guidelines. And you know what it's like when you're reading something legal, and you know it's never in English, is it? Let's face it. So that was fun.
But the money you've had to spend aside from that, I know that businesses were having to shore up the windows, clear out the stock because of burglaries and, you know, with empty properties. Then you've put in basins and things. So you've had an awful lot to do aside from just keeping your head up.
And I mean, also as well, I mean, some of the general practices that we would do anyway, I mean, obviously as an industry, we have really strict hygiene practices and standards anyway. But I mean, like these here, Dinelle wipes, we use these every day.
So she's showing, she's showing some universal wipes there. Are they antibacterial or antiviral?
They use these in hospital.
Right.
They're medical grade, clinical, they're called Clinelle wipes. They're medical grade, universal wipes. They're, basically they kill everything. Yeah. That virus, viruses, bacteria, at 99.999% as well. So I mean, I literally the contact time as well for these, because obviously don't forget every different disinfecting or sterilizing product that you use has got different contact time. So these are like 60 seconds, whereas like your general household like flash wipes or something like that, the contact time is much longer.
Yeah.
So for us, we just wipe over for a minute in 60 seconds. We know everything's completely sterile, pretty much. So we use them anyway. But I could buy, before all this happened, I could buy a pack of six of those packets for like £30. They went up to £100 for one packet.
Wow.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting.
that was the hard bit. And again, also things like Hibby Scrub we use. I'm showing you these as well.
Yeah. All things
that we used before anyway.
Again, I used to use that when I was a dental nurse.
Yeah.
Hibby Scrub.
You just use it for your to like sanitize, you know, wash hands, up to the elbows, all that sort of thing. You know, again, skyrocketed. The price was just ridiculous, and you just think, well, how's that? It's not even viable. You can't buy that, because it's just, and even if you could buy it as well, I mean, that was the other thing, it just, everything just completely cleared out.
Did you manage to get loo rolls?
The little masks, you know, buy these for tuppence, and now they're
Did you manage to get loo rolls for your beauty salons?
Yeah, luckily I bought a load just before. I go to the wholesalers anyway. I don't go to the supermarket and get them. I go to, you know, go bulk buy sort of thing anyway. But yeah, luckily I got a load, so we were fine. We didn't. I must admit, I did nip in and get a few. Because we'd run out.
So where are you at now? Because the government, I know it was very frustrating, because they allowed the hairdressers to open, and then they lumped you in. Although you were with hairdressers, they decided that beauty salons, as they were calling them, parlours, some of them, the old fuddy-duddies. Yeah, the old fuddy-duddy MPs.
Oh my God.
Who just, yeah, ridiculous.
When did that? I mean, like, when was the last time someone said massage parlour? I mean, that's like the '70s or eighties, isn't it?
Exactly.
Come on, we've moved on since then.
So you were not allowed to open when the hairdressers did. How was that for you? How frustrating?
The air was blue. Yeah.
And what were your clients doing? Were they phoning you? And
yeah, the whole industry went absolutely mental, up in arms. I mean, we were all set. We were thought that we were going to be opening on the 4th with hairdressers, and then they literally announced, yeah, hairdressers will reopen on the 4th, but not beauty. I mean, like, it still to
makes
me
no sense, does it?
It doesn't.
There's no rhyme or reason to it at all.
No. And no disrespect to hairdressers or barbers, you know, and there are some amazingly hygienic, really, you know, professional hair salons out there. But they are probably, we're probably more sterile and more.
You're a clinic.
As a bubble in our industry than hairdressers are, because we already wear a lot of PPE for close contact, and, you know, we're used to all that sort of thing. So.
And anyway, we can all cut our own hair.
Some.
Well, yes.
Can we not?
I can see you're sporting a lovely hairdo, Paul.
I did this myself.
You know, I wonder, because I've been back to the hairdressers, but I've actually quite got into the habit of doing my own roots, because when I go and have my roots done regularly, every 3.5 weeks, my hair grows really quickly and I'm dark. And it cost me 70 odd quid. I am dark. This is dark. So
well, that's not yours.
No,
dark,
I only do
dark blonde, darling.
Yeah, dark blonde. So the thing about doing it myself, I've found, is that I can do it whenever the hell I want. So I can do it at 10 o'clock at night, or, you know, whatever. And it kind of suits me. Whereas if I'm busy, and I'm given an appointment, I can't always get there. So there are swings. So you're not allowed to do facial yet.
No, we're allowed to do facial treatments. No treatments on the face. Sorry, I'm just plugging my phone in. No treatments on the face until the 1st of August. So can't do anything tomorrow, but Saturday's fine. Saturday is, well, crazy.
So how, I mean, leaving aside the complete stupidity of that, you know, like, how can you do a facial on the 1st of August, but not the 31st? It just doesn't make any sense at all. But no. Leaving that aside, because...
Yeah, they have to give a date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course they do. There has to be a...
Has to be a couple, but it's a bit frustrating. Yeah.
It's probably a bit early to tell yet, because you haven't hit the 1st of August date as at the time of this recording. But... how have you found, since you've been allowed to open in a limited way, are your clients coming back? Are you having the same amount of clients, or are people still saying, well, you know, I'm a bit worried at the moment. Can I book an appointment for October or something like that? What's the pattern been like?
So we were allowed to open a couple of weeks ago, the 13th of July. We didn't actually open until the Wednesday the 15th, because he literally told us on the Thursday at 5 o'clock, you can reopen.
Yeah, thanks for that 3 days notice, really.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to get everyone booked in. It's just like, you know, logistically impossible. Well, it was for me anyway. So
yeah.
I know some places did open, but I just said to the girls, we're going to give it a couple of days, get everything organised.
Very wise.
So, yeah, we were very busy when we first reopened. Lots of nails, massage, waxing, things like that. But we couldn't obviously do anything on the face. Now for us, our particular business, my salons, we do a lot of treatments on the face. So we do a lot of advanced skincare. We do a lot of, I do semi-permanent makeup, so eyebrow tattooing, things like that. So I would say 70% of what we offer is on the face.
Really?
Or on, so that's or around the face. So even though, yes, we've been busy and lots of people have been coming back, we have not been as busy as we could have been because we are literally working at 40%.
And if you think this is summer season, which is one of your busiest apart from Christmas, it's one of your busiest, must be. You know, people are on the beach, they want leg waxes and facial things.
Yeah. So I mean, the body waxing was fine. We've been doing a lot of that. Manicures, pedicures, a lot of massage. You know, people are really stressed, really stressed. And, you know, and they can't necessarily go on holidays. So they're going, you know what, I'm going to go... I need to like de-stress, unwind, going to go to the salon, have a massage. And people have been, we've had so many lovely comments about how safe they felt when they've come in, that they feel that we've really gone above and beyond with our, you know, our COVID security. And, you know, that's nice to hear. We've had a couple of people that are nervous, aren't coming back yet. And that's absolutely fine. That is 100% their prerogative. People have got to do what they feel most comfortable with, you know, and I think that's, we all need to remember that at this time. But some people are still, you know, haven't even left their homes. And you think, well, you know.
It's a confidence thing, isn't there? Yeah. You haven't been out for all, 3 months.
Yeah, we've all got a little bit agoraphobic. You know, you kind of feel like, you know, you're then, you know, got so used to being in and not having any human contact that it is a strange feeling. It is a strange environment. So, it's been really nice. We have been busy and a lot of clients supported us. And even when we were on lockdown, when we first set up the online gift voucher thing, a lot of people were just like buying gift vouchers and spending the money that we had an income, like money coming into the business.
We
were so supportive and so lovely and can't wait for you to come back. And so it's been, you know, even though it's been a really weird couple of weeks coming back and with all the new kind of guidelines and extra bits that we're doing, it's been made so much worthwhile by the lovely comments that we've had from clients and the feedback we've got from everyone and just everyone's so happy to come back in and see us. And so, yeah, it's been a really positive experience in that respect, but also... Yeah. From a business point of view, not great because we couldn't do all the treatments that we would generally offer. But as from Saturday, it's just gone mad. We're so
you've got your girls working in a bubble, haven't you? Because you're lucky you've got enough staff and enough rooms to do that. So just tell the listener how that works.
So I put them into bubbles of three. So there's two therapists and a receptionist. And then we have four treatment rooms. So they basically get to work between the two rooms. So we can have back-to-back clients, but they'll just work between the two rooms. And then they'll do one client, one room, then they'll invite their next client in and they'll take them into their second room. While that first room is empty, then the receptionist goes in and they clean everything down, make sure that it's all sorted.
Yeah.
And we're not allowing, you know, we're not allowed anyone in waiting areas, so everyone has to wait outside, which is fine at the moment, but I'm not quite sure how it's going to work when it's
exactly
the weather's also nice.
Yeah.
So, but, you know,
it's the whole social distance thing, you know, and you have to do it. You have to adhere.
Absolutely. So you're working your way through this, adapting to the circumstances as best you can, doing all the right things.
Yes.
I want to ask you a fairly odd sounding question, I guess.
Okay.
with your knowledge of the industry, have you got a feeling of how many similar organisations to yours probably won't survive and won't open again? Have you talked to other people in the industry that are going, do you know what, I'm going to go and do something else now?
I don't personally know anyone, but on social media, I'm on a lot of different forums and private groups and things for like salon owners and so on. Yeah. And there's people have really struggled with it. you know, I'm a stubborn, whatever you want to call yourself. I'm not going to let it beat me, but I know a lot of people, it's been really hard. And, I don't personally have children, but I know, you know, there's a lot of business women out there that do have children. It must be even harder because they're trying to sort their business out, trying to do, you know, you're trying to run your home and everything as well. And it's difficult. It's hard. And with our industry, it's like 95% women. And we kind of, I think with the whole, when they said that we couldn't come back with the hairdressers and then there was no date, I think a lot of us felt that, you know, it was a release of lockdown, but from a man's point of view.
Yeah.
I'm not like a massive feminist or anything. I'm not trying to bring it onto that side of it. Obviously, you know, I do think there is a difference between men and women in a lot of ways, but I do think that a lot of women took it very personally because, you know, say 95% of women in our industry run, you know, we own our businesses, we employ staff, and we just felt like we were completely forgotten about and just...
And also, of course, without ranting too much, although the whole set of circumstances needs a good rant. The problem is, for all of us in business, men and women, it's incredibly hard to go back to work when your kids aren't at school.
Exactly.
And
you can't leave them with grandparents because you're worried about that. And you can't leave your family. You know, they're just, you don't, and they can't go to their nurseries or their, you know, their after school clubs or, you know, summer holiday camps, things like that. I mean, it's just not there, just isn't there.
Yeah.
Got someone in your bubble or in your family that's able to look after them, or they're old enough to be on their own. It must be really, really hard.
Yeah,
really.
Absolutely. And again, it's another one of those crazy situations where the one thing we need in order to successfully unlock is the one thing we haven't got. You know, the first thing that should have happened was kids going back to school.
Yeah.
And then unlock everything.
But the unions were not going to allow that, were they?
Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, someone's got to get some pajonies and stand up. Because without the kids being at school, you can't reopen businesses successfully. Certainly not the vast majority of female-run businesses as well. So it's just never going to work.
I don't think that the government really, they've just been like headless chickens. And, you know, there were other ways you could have got the kids back to learning, i.e. they didn't have to be classroom-based. They could have been in the playground. They could have been cooking outside. They could have been going for hikes. They could have looked at nature along the rivers. And, you know, there were other foraging. There's 100 and other things they could have done. That you can learn maths by going outside and cooking on a, you know, measuring out stuff.
But we're on Zoom as well. Why can't they have Zoom lessons? I don't get that personally.
Well, because the pools aren't open.
Don't expect me, but it must be.
But they could go. But there's even, you know, canoeing, and there's just so many things they could have done outside a classroom.
Sure.
So,
For you, Rebecca, how do you feel about the future at the moment? You know, from where you've done so well to hang in there over all these months, and
you
know, to keep your business there and going, and now you're starting to come out of it. How do you feel about it? How do you see the next 6 to 9 months unfolding?
I think it's going to be really tough. I have absolutely no qualms about that. I think it's going to be really tough for everybody. I think that the hardest thing, I think, for everybody, not just my industry, is confidence of the consumer. You know, because I think that, you know, people are nervous, they're not necessarily coming out so much, you know, and then the whole holiday, you know, the holiday thing at the moment, can they, you know, now they, you know, gone to Spain and now they're going to have to come back and they've got to. I think also when the furlough scheme finishes in October, be tricky.
And then because we're going to
approach, nothing would have changed, you know, like, so, you know, I'm literally having this conversation with my girls this morning, you know, how are we going to adapt to this whole bubble scenario? Because they're not, at the moment, they're working the hours, and then the rest of the hours that they would normally work are they're being furloughed.
Right. So you're going to be on the partially furloughed scheme.
Yeah. So yeah. At the moment, so yeah, so they're being half of it they're getting paid by me for the hours that they work, and then the other part, you know, but if things aren't going to change and we can't relax, not saying that I particularly want to relax them, but if things can't relax and we have to still keep this social distancing and we have to keep the bubbles, then they're just, when it, you know, they're just going to be working part time, and a lot of them might need to work. It's juggling all that. It's just, it's kind of, it's massaging it into shape. Excuse the pun.
But see what she did there?
Massaging it all into how it's going to work, you know, because every day it's different. Every day it changes, something new comes out. I mean, we're still waiting for the guidance for treatments on the face.
Well, they're still now saying...
They're waiting for guidance for treatments on the face. They
The World Health... on Saturday. World Health Organization is now saying that the disease, this vicious virus, COVID, is airborne. If it's airborne, we are really...
But if it's airborne, it doesn't matter what we do. It's
exactly, exactly.
But that's why they're asking everyone to wear masks, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, like, we were told when we first reopened that we didn't have to ask our clients to wear masks, but I do. I ask every single client to wear a mask in the salon.
Yeah.
To protect the staff as much as anything.
I was saying to Paul earlier, I visited Evolution Health, Lucy there, who gives me a regular massage.
Yeah.
And
they
made me sign a form, like you did as well, to say that I was healthy. They take my temperature in a little thing, and they also, they took my temperature, and, they put something over my finger. So that's not temperature, is it? That's pulse, isn't it, or something. And I didn't want to put my finger in something that everybody else has put a finger in. But she said it's all been cleaned and blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't want to use their pen because I said, well, everybody else has used that pen. So I refused. And then this time she had it in a little plastic bag for me, all disinfected.
Yeah.
And notices everywhere saying, do not touch surfaces. Like as you go in on the wall, there's stickers saying, do not touch.
Yeah.
This is a vicious virus. It's not normal. It's
no.
not normal circumstances.
No, well, this is it. You have to have, you know, we've had to have signage up everywhere. And, you know, when a client comes into the salon, they're basically shepherded around the salon by the staff member. If they want to go to the loo, we have to take them to the loo.
Yeah.
We're not allowed. And obviously, we leave them on their own.
Do you?
Oh, really?
There was an occasion, Paul Andrews, when I'd had my nails done rather beautifully and then realised I hadn't been to the loo before. And, of course, you can't do anything because they're wet. And it's like wet paint. And I had to ask the lovely Rebecca Nutt to help me remove my magic knickers that I was wearing at the time. The moral of the story is, don't wear magic knickers to the beauty salon and go to the loo before they're painted,
before you have your nails.
Exactly. But Rebecca, it's been so good to talk to you, and it's brilliant
and
to see
but
brilliant to see that you have just fought this like a lion and gone in there raging and kept your business open as much as you possibly could, and I went there last week and it was spotless, but it always was. So as you say, you've always had these procedures in place. You've just had to spend a lot more money getting ones that cost £100 a pack. But for now, give us a shout for your website.
So www.serenityhealthandbeauty.co.uk.
And people can click on that and book treatments.
They can go on there. They can book online. Obviously, don't book anything on the face before the 1st of August, please, because you'll be called and told to rearrange it. Yes, you can do that. And you can buy vouchers online. You can book treatments online for both salons.
Fantastic.
Rebecca, thanks very much.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was really lovely to see you both and speak to you.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always, Rebecca. And keep on keeping on, and all power to you and your folks and your business.
Thank you. Will do.
That was Rebecca Nutt of Serenity Health. That was Rebecca Nutt of Serenity Health and Beauty. Thank you so much for joining us, Rebecca, and telling us about how you've coped with the lockdown and the gradual unwinding of business.
Listener, she looked amazing. She was.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Yeah.
And the thing about Rebecca is, not only is she good at what she does, she's actually a very good businesswoman as well.
Yeah, exactly.
She's very good at handling the business, which is what has helped her get
through this as best as she has got through it.
Lots of focus. Do you know, Paul, we've had a tweet from the Thyroid Trust. They say, right. Hello, please give a shout out to the Thyroid Trust. We need all the help we can get to raise awareness and improve access to effective care for people affected by thyroid disease. Thank you, Business Bunker. And they are thyroidtrust.org, and you can find them on the Twitter at Thyroid Trust. And they're based actually in Broadstairs, I believe, but obviously they're UK-wide and worldwide probably. But they are fighting for patients who are often having to buy their own medicines for T3, which is what the NHS doesn't like to give because they're paying too much for it. So give them a follow.
Do you know anyone with a thyroid problem?
Actually, I do. Yes, I have a really bad thyroid. Did you not know?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know that.
And I have to pay hundreds. I have to pay hundreds.
Why have you never mentioned it?
Well, I will on every show from now on.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because we.
I've had a tweet too.
What's yours say?
It's from Ibiza Fitness Food.
What are they saying?
We'd love a shout out, please, on the Business Bunker. We're in our huge, hot, professional kitchen here in Menston, and the chefs are cooking up a storm to deliver to all you lovely people across the UK.
And beautiful looking food. And
it's
there's
lovely.
A rather handsome man there with a black sweatshirt with the Ibiza logo. I happen to know Paul Andrews. They're based in Manson, but I happen to know that their graphic designer is the lovely Ken Lloyd.
Ah, okay. The fabulous, talented Ken Lloyd.
Yeah, yeah. Based in Herne Bay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Good thing. And I have something to read out of you. Have I got time?
I have. You can read something if you'd like.
Okay, I'll put my glasses. Turning the new normal into new business live. So this is Wednesday the 12th of August. So that's mañana. And it's 11 to 12.30, keynote session plus 30 minutes Q&A in breakout virtual rooms. This session will showcase 10 simple quick wins that will help improve your website traffic, leads and sales quickly and cost effectively. And after this, we'll split into breakout rooms and put our knowledge into practice by offering you a free website audit. In this breakout, we'll talk through our web audit suggestions with you one-to-one so that you can have some actionable suggestions to implement. So this is the lovely Dan Mordhub. I like that name. Mordhub. Where does it come from?
Mordhub. I'm not sure. I've known Dan for a long time.
Could be a bit Norwegian, maybe.
Mordhubby.
You know, you never
know. No, it's not.
Let's ask him.
Yeah.
Did you know he's a multi-award-winning entrepreneur and he's worked with some of the world's largest brands in delivering game-changing campaigns and content through his agency? Wonderful. Dan has spearheaded Wonderful. Oh, that's the name of his agency. I thought he was telling me he was Wonderful. I'm sure he is. So he's Wonderful. It's being a leading digital creative agency, recently recognised as the top 11 in the UK for client satisfaction in 2015, Drum Design Agency Consensus. And Dan says, you can find out about this on bitesizeonline.co.uk. So three W's, bitesizeonline.co.uk. The price is just £10 plus VAT. And Dan is the founder of the Wonderful Foundation, which is a not-for-profit organisation that supports sustainability and growth of community projects globally. So sounds really good. That's mañana, Wednesday the 12th, 11 to 12.30. And we'll tweet that out as well.
Fantastic. I've got a couple of tweets here. I've got the Recovery Well. They say, hi, Paul and Jules. I came across your show a couple of weeks ago during the Zoe Cairns Business Bunker social media challenge. And I'm listening, so that's the Recovery World. Do give them a follow on Twitter. And of course, our old friends at Michael Parks Surveyors, MPSL on the Twitter. Afternoon, all on the Business Bunker. Hope you're having a super day. Thank you. That's Michael Parks Surveyors Limited, MPSL on the Twitter. All your commercial property needs based over there in Medway, covering the southeast of England. I had two or three here, people that found us through the recent ZC social media Twitter challenge a couple of weeks ago.
It was busy, wasn't it? It was very busy.
And we've had tweets from Barbara Rogers, Jenny Luddington, and the climbing experience. So thank you all for tweeting and asking for a shout out.
The lovely Barbara Rogers is an Avon lady, and she's looking she's looking for people to help her.
Right.
You know, to expand the business. So that's great. Yeah.
We've had a response to your Thyroid Trust tweet out.
Oh, have we?
Yeah, a lady called Gail Louise Maudsley.
Right.
She says, with you all the way on the thyroid trust.
Well, I bet she's got a low thyroid or a high thyroid or what, overactive.
She's probably got a thyroid, yeah.
Very common. And thyroid cancer, of course, not particularly well treated. You know, just they just remove the thyroids. That can be good. The lovely Telcare, hello to them. They're all beavering away and saying, is it time that you re-looked your telecommunications during this pandemic? So, hello to you guys all bunkering away there, beavering away, I should say. Yeah. We're bunkering.
Right. I think it's just about things to share with you.
Yep.
So let's have a bit of street life.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.